missions in many lands. And we're delighted that they're here to present this program tonight. And I don't know whether they'll come up together, hand in hand, or do you start it, Brother John? Brother Sam. So we'll just ask Brother Sam Robinson to come in. Thank you, men, for coming our way. Thank you for inviting us. I'm sure it's a privilege for both John and I to be here this evening to share with you a little about the ministry of Christian missions in many lands. I was thinking when we were singing that hymn, Send the Light, so heartily, you know, the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, ye are the light of the world. And he didn't ask for volunteers. He said, ye are the light of the world. And the only question is, will you and will I function as lights in the world? So think of it again the next time you sing that hymn, Send the Light. Is the Lord speaking to you? A number of months ago, I was on a panel discussion, took part in a panel discussion at a conference in up in our area, New Jersey. And the question that I got on the panel was, are we overemphasizing missions? I don't think we are. An assembly that is enthusiastic about missions is a growing assembly. They'll be enthusiastic about evangelism in the home field as well as the foreign field. You know, we stress the importance of our Lord's Supper, the Remembrance Feast, by reminding the saints that in the night that the Lord was betrayed, he instituted that Feast of Remembrance. But you know, go a little further on that same night. You'll find, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. The Lord paused on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane and reminded his disciples of three things. He reminded them of his crucifixion by quoting Zechariah from the prophecy of Zechariah. And then he reminded them of his resurrection. He said, after I am risen again. And then he also appointed a rendezvous with his disciples in Galilee on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then over in Matthew chapter 28, that resurrection morning. You remember when the sisters went, the ladies went to the tomb. The angel reminded those women, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And then the Lord himself, he spoke to these women and he said, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that ye go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. That was in the Lord's mind on the night of his betrayal. And what was that meeting in Galilee? We read it in Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Do we overemphasize missions? I don't think we do. What did the disciples do? They started at Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world, bearing the good news of the gospel. And when you think of missionary work associated with our assemblies, it's very exciting. Do you realize that almost 1% of the total assembly population in the United States and Canada is involved in missionary work? And when you consider those that are involved in evangelism and teaching in the United States and Canada, home workers, there's far more than 1% of our total population engaged in full-time service for the Lord. What other group of evangelicals can match that? We find that some of our young people are almost apologetic about the assembly missionary effort, but it's nothing to apologize for. The assembly missionary effort started in 1829 when Anthony Norris Groves sailed from England to Baghdad, and then he went on to India. And then, years later, Fred Stanley Arnott, in 1881, left Scotland and went out to Africa. And we read much about David Livingstone in Africa. But Fred Stanley Arnott chartered some new territory in Central Africa that is known today as the Beloved Strip. Gradually, from assemblies in the United Kingdom, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Switzerland, and other places, they have gradually gone out. At the turn of the century, there were a number of people exercised about the lack of information of missionaries that had gone out from assemblies. The letters were scarce, the letters were long in coming, and the limited number of report meetings back then, the scope was just not reaching the assemblies. So there were a few exercised men. It started first in England, and then at the turn of the century in the United States, a few exercised men decided to try to circulate amongst the assemblies letters as they came in, letters that they could get their hands on from missionaries. And they started out, in this country, it started out with a 4-page news sheet of letter excerpts from missionaries, and it gradually expanded to a quarterly magazine. And then as the interest was incurred and the assembly Christians realized their obligation before the Lord to the Lord's commission, there was a need to transmit back to the missionaries funds that, in a simple way and a regular way, funds that these Christians wanted to forward to the missionaries. So that as the newsletters increased and as the circulation increased, then there became a need to forward funds. And this was the way that Missionary Service Committee was born. And it gradually expanded. And after the war, or prior to World War I, the Foreign governments took very little note nor cared too much about foreign missionaries within their borders. But after World War I, they started to take an interest in these strangers within their borders, and they wanted to know more about them. And it became necessary for an organization to represent these missionaries, not only to our own government, but in some of these foreign governments. They wanted a guarantee that if something happened, and for some reason an emergency, or for some reason these missionaries became persona non grata, that they would be immediately taken home. So they were looking to an organization, and the service organizations took upon themselves that responsibility. But the emphasis, as far as a service committee is concerned, a service organization, such as Christian Missions in Many Lands, the emphasis is on service. Service is the key. And this display we have on the board here, I think, pictures it quite clearly. You have the local assembly, you have the missionary, and you have the field as the sphere of service. Above that, you have divine direction. Divine direction exercised directly on the assembly, the missionary, and his work on the field. And as far as CMML is concerned, or any missionary or service organization, we serve. We do not come in between divine direction and the assembly, the missionary, or the service on the field. We serve not only the missionaries who have gone forth into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, but we serve the assemblies that have commended them to the Lord's work. The function of a service organization is really to provide services that are difficult or impossible for assemblies or individuals to provide for themselves. For instance, funds that come in for a missionary's work, we can provide the individual Christian with a receipt that is tax deductible, can be used for your tax deductions. You cannot give a gift directly yourself to a missionary or a home worker directly and claim it on your income tax. So that is one very valuable service that we provide. But the service organization such as CMML does not take the position as a central head or a governing body in relation to the assembly or the missionary. We're not a board. We're not a society. We're strictly a service organization. We do not send missionaries. The New Testament pattern is the Lord calls, the assembly commends. We do not send missionaries. We do not support missionaries. That's the responsibility of individual Christians and assemblies. There are a number of service organizations like Christian Missions in Many Lands. The oldest is Echoes of Service in England. There's two in Scotland, the Lord's Work Trust and Foreign and Home Missions. There's a small group in Northern Ireland, Harvest Fields. And there is a similar group in New Zealand and also in Australia. And, of course, there's Missionary Service Committee in Canada. We're all independent, but we all work alike. None of us support missionaries. The gifts that come through the CMML office, roughly 90% are designated for the work of a specific missionary. The 10% that is left to our discretion to allocate, there's, by no stretch of the imagination, could we use that to support a missionary. The support comes from you as individuals or your assemblies. And most important of all, not only do we not send and do we not support, but we do not superintend. We do not superintend a missionary. The sovereign Lord and the sovereign Lord alone controls the activities and the service of his servants on the field. Now, as some of you might know, in the New York metropolitan area, and I suppose the organizations that formed CMML were in the New York metropolitan area because New York was the, shall we say, the central port of embarkation for missionaries going out to the foreign field. That is no longer the case. For years, for 25 years, my wife and I lived in the heart of New York City and in the assembly where we fellowship. We had a missionary apartment, and my wife and I looked after that missionary apartment. And it used to be, we used to say the beds were never cold. One would get out and another one would get in. But that is no longer the case. Missionaries going down to Central and South America, they don't have to come through New York anymore. They fly directly to Miami and then on down through Central and South America. But in the New York metropolitan area, prior to 1971, there were four missionary service organizations. Voices from the Vineyard came into existence just after the turn of the century. Then in 1921, as a result of government requirements and regulations and guarantees, CMML Limited came into existence. And then in 1928, there was a need for hospitality for missionaries passing through and staying for a prolonged period. And the Julia Hassett Memorial Missionary Home came into being in the Jersey City, Union City area in New Jersey. And then in 1938, the Fields was started by the late Charles Bellinger and a few others. But then at the end of the 60s, there was a deep exercise on the heart of many of us. I was associated with Voices from the Vineyard, and also was on a member of Christian Missions in Many Lands Limited, and there was an overlapping ministry, and we were exercised about merging those four organizations. And in 1971, the 50th anniversary of Christian Missions in Many Lands Limited, the four organizations merged and changed the name to Christian Missions in Many Lands Incorporated, and we've been in happy fellowship since. And I've often said that if there's one thing that I am very happy about and very proud of, is the little share that I had in bringing those four organizations together. Of course, most of you down in this area knew our first president, Fred McKenzie, who back in 1980 was called home to be with the Lord. But we have an organization of, well, we're down to 14 directors now, but they're all from the New York metropolitan area. Now, it's not that we have anything against fellows from any other area, but there's one thing that we insisted on at the merger of the four corporations, and that was we wanted working directors. We wanted men that could be at every director's meeting. And we have a pretty good attendance record. We always threaten that if a director missed three meetings, we'd ask him to resign. We haven't had to do that yet. But that is why we have directors from the New York metropolitan area, so they can really be involved and really working. Every director receives his own copy of letters from the missionaries that come in to the office. And we have a regular directors meeting every month. But the ministry of CMML is basically a twofold ministry. First of all, it's a ministry of assistance. We assist new missionaries outgoing. There might be requirements that they have for or restrictions by foreign or local government, the local government or foreign governments. They might require letters of guarantee. We might be in a position to help with travel arrangements or be in a position to get them a discount on their travel fare. We help with their baggage and packing and shipping. And we're there to counsel if the missionary or the missionary's commending assembly asks us to. We don't push ourselves on anyone, but if they ask when requested, we'll counsel, and keeping in mind the autonomy of the local assembly. And as we already mentioned, we assist in forwarding funds from the assemblies and individuals. And we don't encourage undesignated funds. We like to see the designated funds because there's usually prayer exercise behind it. And the prayer exercise is just as important. But if we do have undesignated funds, we distribute them once a week after prayerful consideration of all known facts and special needs that we might be aware of. And then also our own government, if there's a problem in a certain area, our own government will contact us and suggest that we contact our missionaries and suggest that they come. Well, they tell us to get our missionaries out of the area. All we can do is contact them and suggest that they leave the area. So we're a point of contact for our government as well. But not only are we do we have a ministry of assistance, but we have a ministry of information. We are very exercised about public awareness of our missionary effort. And for this reason, we convene conferences and special seminars. We schedule meetings for missionaries on furlough when they ask us to. And we have, in the New Jersey area, the assemblies have come to us, and we organize a fall conference for men and women. And then a lot of the men in the area came and said, we would like a men's conference. So we have a men's conference in the spring, where we encourage not only men, but young men especially to come. And it's really a thrill to see young men coming to those conferences. Some are doctrinal. Some are with a missionary emphasis. But it's encouraging to see so many young men come with their notebooks in hand to take notes. And then, of course, we have the communications, the magazine, the handbook, a special publication such as Global Strategy. I'd just like to pause to mention Global Strategy. Global Strategy came into being because in 1976 we were invited to have a display booth at Urbana. And we went out to Urbana knowing that there would be approximately 500 assembly young people there exposed to the whole spectrum of evangelical missionary work. We were shocked. in speaking to assembly young people, I was there personally and spoke to many of them. And there were fine young men and women exercised about serving the Lord from our assemblies. And brethren and sisters, they didn't know the first thing about the assembly missionary effort. They didn't know the first thing about New Testament principles. They didn't know the first thing about biblical financial principles. And as a result of that confrontation with the young people, we had a, shall we say, an after meeting up in Toronto where all of us that represented CMML and MSC, we got together and we decided to publish this symposium, Global Strategy. And it was meant to be a textbook for assembly elders to instruct their young people in New Testament missionary principles. We sent a copy to every assembly in the United States. Missionary Service Committee sent a copy to every assembly in Canada. It's now in its second printing, and we praise God that it has been used. But I say this with a heavy heart. We have elders or men in position as elders in our assemblies today, and all they are glorified deacons. In many assemblies today, they lack good shepherds. And you men, as you travel around, I'm sure you recognize this. As you travel around the assemblies, and just pray that you'll do everything you can to exercise the men in positions of authority in our assemblies today to own up to their responsibility as shepherds before the Lord. But not only are we a ministry of assistance and a ministry of information, we're also a ministry of faith. The cost of rendering the services, and John will go into more detail. John is not only treasurer, but he's office manager, and his dear wife works in the office without any remuneration. We have a paid office staff, but we do not charge for any of our services to missionaries, the assemblies, or the individual. If you send $100 in to the work of a missionary, that $100 goes to the work of the missionary. We do not deduct from gifts for expenses, and expenses are met from gifts received and designated strictly for operating expenses. But expenses are met year after year by the free will offering of the Lord's people. And God is faithful. Now, I told John I'd finish at 8. It's 5 after, so you'll have to talk a little faster, John. He is a fast talker.
Speaking about talking, it's been a delight to sit and listen to all these southern accents. Now you're going to hear some of us born in Jersey City. Lots of people comment on that. We had an international conference, and a brother from Australia came over. He used to be in the Chad. And he said before he went back, he says, I want you to take me over to New York. I want to sit on the curb on Toy Street and Toyd and throw stones at the boys. Well, the Sunday before he left, we went. But it was so foggy, we could hardly see the curb, but he got out and sat on it anyway.